Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Is hour number three coming to you live. This is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by DeSantis.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality-built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
Check them out at DeSantisHolster.com. Joined again by writer, activist, scientist, military officer. He's done a lot of stuff. His name is Dean Weingarten. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing very well, Bill. I'm glad to be here.
So, in South Carolina, we now have... Well, okay, let me rephrase that. In South Carolina, we now have a bill going to Governor Henry McMaster. And for the first time ever in South Carolina, if your gun shows and you have a permit, you won't be let out in handcuffs, eh?
Well, that's right. Now, I have to make a small correction. And that is, I think that the law, that the statute that made open carry illegal in South Carolina was passed in the early 1960s, as I recall.
Right.
So it hasn't been forever. There was a fair amount of time where open carry was perfectly legal in South Carolina. And if you go way back, it was legal from colonial periods on, but it wasn't. If you were a slave, you had to get your master's permission to carry the firearm. So we really are restoring the right to open carry. And it looks good. Everything I have read indicates to me that Governor McMaster will sign the bill when he gets it. And parts of the bill will go into effect immediately. And I think there are other parts that take 90 days to go into effect. I'd have
right.
to reread
right.
the precise bill, but as I recall, that's how it will work. And it's not constitutional carry, but those legislators in South Carolina who were pushing for constitutional carry got a fair amount of the loaf. I think they got maybe more than half the loaf. They've been trying to get open carry for a long time. How many years? I mean,
it's been opposed by Republicans the whole way, too.
Well, yes. I mean, well, of course it was opposed by Democrats. And there also were a number of long-term Republicans, many of which had switched from Democrat to Republican, that opposed it, as I recall.
Right.
And some of those who had switched were in leadership positions where they had a lot of power about what happened to bills. I mean, having watched this now for a couple of decades, there are lots of ways that you can kill bills that would pass if they ever came up to a vote. And mostly you just keep them from ever coming up to a vote.
Yeah.
And in fact, this bill almost did not come up to a vote. As I recall, a major effort by proponents of constitutional carry was mounted, I recall from talking to South Carolina Senator
Rex Rice,
who is very much a proponent of constitutional carry, that they had organized an effort to recall the bill from committee because Luke, Scott.
Rankin.
Yes, is the chair of the Judiciary Committee, and he just didn't seem to be willing to schedule it for a vote of the full committee. And therefore, it would have stayed in that committee and died. But South Carolina has a provision whereby if a majority of the senators recall a bill from committee, they can move it directly to the floor of the Senate. And that's what they did with this bill. And there was a movement, there was an attempt to try to substitute complete constitutional carry for the open carry with permit bill.
Yep.
But it failed by a few votes. Not by a huge amount, but it did fail by, I think, 5 votes around there.
Right.
Was not a large amount. But what they got in this bill were some pretty good things. First off, they did get open carry for anybody who has a permit that's legal in South Carolina. So some people have said that this bill was a open carry and you had to be a resident to get it. But that's not quite true. South Carolina recognizes quite a few other states, I think around
33 or 35, something like that.
Yeah, it's a significant number. And if you have a permit that's recognized, you can open carry under your permit in South Carolina once this bill goes into effect.
Right.
So that was a pretty big deal. And then there were some other things that were added to the bill to make it more palatable to those who wanted concealed carry. One of the things was sanctuary state status. And the bill includes a provision, I think it's Section 9, that actually makes South Carolina a Second Amendment sanctuary state. And the way that it is written is that the Attorney General of South Carolina looks at a federal law, and I think it's a federal law passed after January 1st, 2021, and says, does this law violate the Second Amendment, in my judgment? He doesn't submit it to a court, doesn't go to the Supreme Court. He makes a judgment on it. And if the bill infringes on the Second Amendment, then he can rule that no South Carolina resources and no South Carolina public officials will be used to enforce the federal act. So that's a fairly strong sanctuary bill, or a section, I should say. And although it depends on one person, the AG, to make recommendations and to make judgments, in some ways that's better. It gives all of the public servants in South Carolina a lodestone to look at and say, well, should I or should I not enforce this law or help with it? I mean, they're saying no North Carolina resources would be used to enforce the bill or to aid in enforcement of a bill that infringes on the Second Amendment.
Right.
So that's a pretty big deal. So you get open carry, you get sanctuary state, you also there was something that was included in the bill that I think is significant. They did away with the fee requirement for the permit in South Carolina. There was a $50 fee that was charged to get the permit in South Carolina, and they just eliminated that.
Yep.
So there won't be any fee for a permit in South Carolina in the future, and that's a big deal because then in future bills there won't be any arguing about whether doing away with the requirement for the permit removes revenue from the state. You can't remove revenue if there isn't any revenue to remove.
Correct.
So that's correct. A big plus.
Yep.
And then there's another part of the bill that hasn't gotten much play. And it's not huge, but it is good. There was in the old law.
I'll tell you what, hold on right there, because I want to hear this. Talking to Dean Weingarten here in about South Carolina. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
In 2013, Core Essentials set out to redefine a man's belt. Blending innovation with superior material, the Core Essentials belt came into focus, highlighting a better fit, better styling, and increased function. Equally at home peeking out of a blazer or a plate carrier, the EDC gun belt answers every need of the modern gun carrier. Core Essentials. That's K-O-R-E, essentials.com.
What makes the best is that they're always getting better.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Coming to you live, this is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by DeSantis.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality built American made products for 45 plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American made leather and kydex holster for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment,
we perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
Check them out, DeSantisHolster.com. We're speaking with Dean Weingarten. We've been talking about what has transpired in South Carolina. You were getting to a part of the bill that is, you said, was not a biggie, but is still significant in your opinion. I don't know what you're about to say.
I don't think many people have discussed it. But what the history was that in South Carolina was for many years, people were not allowed to have firearms on college campuses, university campuses, in general, institutions for higher learning. There was a general prohibition on people having firearms on campus. Then, with the concealed carry permit, it was changed so that people with a permit could store firearms in a glove box, in a trunk, in a console, in a closed container if they didn't have a trunk available, for example, inside a vehicle, and that vehicle could be on the institution of higher learning property, and it would not be illegal. What this bill did is removed the requirement to have a concealed carry permit. So now anybody who can legally have a firearm in their vehicle can store that firearm, if it's in a container, in their vehicle and have that vehicle parked on an institution of higher learning, and it won't be illegal for them to have the firearm there. And you can see the incremental steps. First, nobody was allowed. Then somebody with a permit was allowed. And now everybody who can legally have a firearm is allowed. So it's a significant progression. And we have seen, there have been cases where people have been prosecuted for this. We've seen it in Florida. I think I saw it in, in Virginia there was a case. And sometimes people beat the rap, as it were, but it costs a lot of money to go through the court process. Now in South Carolina, that's no longer going to be an option. If you follow the law and you have that firearm in your vehicle and it's inside a container that's closed and it's on a university or a college or some other institution of higher learning property, it's no longer against the law. So I think that's a significant upgrade.
Well, I mean, when I got out of the Army in 1990, the first thing I wanted to do was find out how can I legally carry a gun in South Carolina. Right, because I had one last SATA briefing before I got out of the Army, and what they had to tell us was quite foreboding about the state of what was going on within the borders. So I was a little concerned about this. The only way for me to have carried a gun at that time in 1990 was to have been to become a state constable.
Ah, yes.
Which was a minimum investment of about $2,500. You had to buy uniforms. You had to buy. You had to know somebody in politics to appoint you, right?
Right.
And then you actually had to go out and ride. You had to go out and ride with these in law enforcement. That was the only way to get a permit in 1990. So. We have come quite a ways.
We have, and we've seen this. It's the way that it happened in a lot of states. I followed this very closely in Wisconsin because I grew up there. And what happened in Wisconsin was a no-issue state. You had open carry. You could legally open carry. But in order to carry concealed, there was no provision to get a permit. There just wasn't any. But if you go back into the 50s and 40s and earlier, if you wanted to carry concealed, you went to your local sheriff. And you said, hey, I want to carry a gun around. I want to do it legally. Will you make me a deputy? And there were lots of what we call dollar-a-year deputies. Sheriff say, well, I think you're a good guy. Yeah, okay. Here, I'm appointing you as deputy. And then you could legally carry. And it was simple and fairly easy. It was kind of a May issue. Sort of permit system. But then what happened is that the federal government got involved and they started demanding that in order to get tax dollars from the federal government to train people or to get equipment or to get money for police departments, you had to follow federal guidelines. And one of those right. guidelines was you had to send, you couldn't just take anybody and make them into a police officer. They had to attend training. So often this was like 6 weeks or more of training, and it cost money, and there were, you know, you had to take off time from work. It was difficult to do. So the number of dollar-a-year deputies just started falling away because you had to go through this training. I actually was appointed as a law enforcement officer, you know, just briefly in the county where I grew up for a while so I could carry for a bit. And then I knew a really good friend of mine in college who did the same thing with a sheriff down in Dane County, where Madison is at, and she carried all the time. But if that all was done away with by the federal requirements to essentially make law enforcement more of a profession, and even that term, law enforcement, was one of the last word games that they played before about 1970, you didn't talk about law enforcement. You talked about peace officers. The purpose of an officer of the law was to keep the peace. Then they started with this change, you know, trying to make it that you were a law enforcement officer. Your purpose wasn't to keep the peace. Your purpose was to enforce the law. There's a big difference in emphasis in that word change. And that's how many states went from being able to carry if your sheriff or the police chief of your town thought you were a reasonable person, to making it very, very difficult with the process that you described to be able to carry. You had to go through a much more expensive and long-term administrative process to do that. But now we're changing all that. We're doing all away with that. We've got 20 states of constitutional carry. Texas is in play. Louisiana is in play.
Hang on for me. I want to talk about something in the next segment, just simply because of what you just brought up. Because I've looked into that myself. But you can find Dean's stuff, all his latest spate of articles, which is nearly 1,800 of them. You can probably find that, all of them, at amoland.com. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. Like a piece of Americana, this is Nighthawk Custom. Completing Browning's vision of the 1911, Nighthawk Custom is not a mass production facility. Each custom touch is machined to an exacting standard, with the heart and soul of each craftsman that takes it through the process. Traditional or tactical, Nighthawk Custom delivers a weapon you can trust with your life. Custom to your specification or ready to ship with the reserve line. For their complete selection, go to NighthawkCustom.com. Nighthawk Custom. One gun, one gunsmith.
For over 25 years, Aero Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Former President Trump isn't happy about the New York probe into his organization. He's calling it a corrupt investigation and a desperate search for a crime. Trump saying Democrats, quote, failed to stop me in Washington, so they turned it over to New York to do their dirty work, close quote. The United States Coast Guard is seizing a massive supply of illegal drugs off the coast of San Diego. Coast Guard cutters active Steadfast and Tacoma hauling in 11,500 pounds of cocaine today. It had an estimated street value of $220 million. The major markets are starting to recover after a wild trading session. The Dow had fluctuated between being down 100 and 600 points throughout the day. At the close, the Dow down 164 points to finish at 33,896. USA Radio News. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell is opposing the formation of an independent counsel to probe the January 6th attack on the Capitol. Speaking on the Senate floor, the Kentucky Republican calling the commission slanted and accusing House Democrats of acting in bad faith. President Biden on Wednesday gave his first commencement address as Commander-in-Chief. Biden speaking at the U.S. Coast Guard Academy in Connecticut.
Well, Cadet Tidd, there's a seat on Air Force One if you have to get home. It may be tough. I can only assume that you will enjoy educating your family about how the Coast Guard is, quote, the hard nucleus around the Navy forms in times of war. You are quite, you're a really dull class. I mean, come on, man. Is the sun getting to you? I would think you'd have an opportunity when I say that about the Navy to clap.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day. But supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Live, this is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by DeSantis.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality built American made products for 45 plus years, supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment,
we perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
Check him out, DeSantisHolster.com. We're talking to Dean Weingarten, and one of the things he brought up made me sort of think about a few things. Have you ever met some of these instructors that roll around all the time? They have a law enforcement credential.
Oh, yeah.
To where, and I mean, a lot of them get them now because of that Laosa rule, don't they?
Well, that is true, and it's nice, but and I think it works for us. But you have to be either a law enforcement that's active or a retired. If you can get into a department that will accept you, I think it can be valuable, but it's generally not a pro forma thing. You know, you actually have to do work, and you have to show up, and you have to be there. Now, there may be some departments that where it's less onerous than others.
I used to see a bunch of these guys that were constantly traveling. I don't know, you know, I didn't live with them, so I didn't know their day-to-day, but they always carried that that law enforcement credential. And I always wondered, like, with a law enforcement credential, can when you fly on a plane, can you carry a gun?
I've known several officers who did, but they said it's gotten more difficult. It used to be that you could just use your credential and it would be allowed. But I think they have gone toward asking for a letter from your department saying that it's necessary for you to carry. Now, you'd think it'd be the opposite. When we worry about hijackings, things like that, you'd want more people armed on a plane than not. But you were always required, not always, but say since 9/11, you were certainly required to let the airline know that you were armed so that the people who were operating the plane would know that you were armed and where you were on the plane. And they could also let any air marshals that were on the plane, you know what was going on. So it's changed, and it's not always clear. It depends somewhat on the department and somewhat on interpretation. But the people who fly regularly study these regulations and, try to make it work for them. I've known some people who've done that, and, it's somewhat variable by department from what I have seen.
Well, I mean, like John Farnham, who's also a writer at Amoland.com, yeah, as well as a tactical instructor, flies all over the country, flies into places that you and I wouldn't go carrying, yeah, a gun. Now, I haven't ever asked him how he does that, but I've always presumed because he's doing something in an official capacity that he has some sort of immunity to the kind of thing that would get us in trouble.
Well, with I think it's Leosia, and I forget the HR 218, maybe it was at the time. And so law enforcement generally have the ability to carry a gun all over the country and in places where you and I can't, like New York City, New Jersey, Hawaii. So they don't have to be able to carry on the plane to carry all those other places. And so it's because there is that 218 recognition of law enforcement ability to carry everywhere. And some people have said, oh, that's terrible because we're creating a two-tier system where, we have this, nobility of the law enforcement that can do stuff that we can't. But I think it actually works for us in a different way. It creates precedent that people can carry all over the country if the federal government says they can. So if there's a Supreme Court decision saying it's the right to carry arms all over the country, we already have the precedent of the law enforcement doing so. So why shouldn't other people be able to do it as well? So I think it actually works for us. It also gets people used to the idea that people carrying a gun around is positive and helps enforce order around the country. And what we've seen is that people who get ordinary carry permits are even more law-abiding than most law enforcement officers. So they're actually more likely to help you and to be there and available than a law enforcement officer is, because there's in the neighborhood of 20 million people that have concealed carry permits. That's not counting the constitutional carry states where people can carry without permits. That's people with permits are very close. They're probably right at 20 million now. And yet we only have maybe a million law enforcement officers in the U.S. Something right around in there.
920,000.
Yeah. So we got 20 times as many ordinary citizens with carry permits. That means that your chance of having somebody near you who can help out, who is armed, it's about 20 times more likely to be an ordinary citizen than a peace officer. So I think that is something that Second Amendment proponents would be wise to point out, because one of the problems with people who are afraid of guns is they don't want somebody with a gun near them, but they don't have any problem if that person with the gun is approved of by the government. In say, a police officer.
Sure.
It's a weird mental thing that, I don't want my neighbor to have a gun, but I want that guy that I don't know at all who's got a uniform on, he's got,
sure,
to have a gun.
Yeah, yeah. I'm waiting to see what happens in the state. I'm waiting to see if I start seeing some guys rolling around in South Carolina with some drop leg rigs and some other crazy, open carry setups.
Yeah, well,
chest rigs, that kind of thing.
I've experienced this in a few states. I actually open carried in Wisconsin when it wasn't cool, and back like 50 years ago. And then I saw Arizona always had open carry too, but not many people did. And there was some significant judicial efforts to try to discourage it before 94 or so.
Yeah.
And Texas went from where they had lost the right. Well, they lost the legal ability to open carry in Texas. Not entirely. There's always a few exceptions. But in Reconstruction, when Texas was conquered by Union forces, basically the occupying forces rammed through a new Texas Constitution that did away with the right to keep and bear arms. And so for a significant time, actually for a long time, since about 1869 in Texas, you didn't have a right to carry openly a sidearm, something you could wear. You could carry long guns, but you couldn't carry short guns because you could wear them, and you couldn't carry bowie knives. Well, we're beyond that in Texas now in the law,
yeah.
But what they really need to do is to change the Constitution back to the original Constitution that was in effect in 1845, and which was very similar to the one they passed as an independent nation in 1836. And like I said, it was the
Hang on for me. We're coming up on the last break. This article, by the way, that leads into this, talking about South Carolina, is one of Dean's latest ones. I think it's right now on the front page at AmmoLand.com, where there's nearly 1,800 others. If you go to all contributors and look for Dean Weingarten, he'll be in the middle on the left-hand side. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
On the firing line, coming to you live, this is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by DeSantis.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality-built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
Check them out, DeSantisHolster.com. We have been speaking with Dean Weingarten. How would you like to end this, sir?
Let's talk about what's going on with constitutional carry in Texas.
Okay.
Because Texas has had a lot of people working very hard to bring constitutional carry to the state to restore the Second Amendment rights that have been lost in Texas. And this year appears to be a year where it may happen. The constitutional carry bill passed the House by a good margin over a month ago. And then it appeared to be stalled in the Senate, but a lot of pressure was brought to bear. And a special committee was organized in the Senate. And then it passed in the Senate just barely. You had to have 18 votes. There were 18 Republicans in the Senate, and 18 Republicans voted to pass it. But that passage in the Senate was predicated on some compromises, certain amendments. There were 8 amendments that were added to the constitutional carry bill in the Senate to get those 18 votes. So then it went back to the House. Now, the question was, would the House accept the eight amendments and then send the bill to Governor Abbott, who said he would sign the bill? Now, there are some legal problems, too. Texas has a requirement that bills only address one issue at a time. You're not supposed to add a bunch of issues together, as you constantly see in the U.S. Congress, where they produce these enormous bills that cover everything. And then the people voting have a choice, vote for everything or vote for nothing. And, of course, they usually vote for everything. But in Texas, you're only supposed to have a single issue per bill. And one of the several of the amendments, actually, could be construed as being outside the scope of a constitutional carry bill. One of them was that you create an educational program. I think it was the Department of Public Safety would create it, so that at no cost to the public, so the public could go online and view this, go through this one-hour instruction and understand the basics of the responsibilities and requirements of carrying a weapon in Texas. So when it, all this time, the clock is ticking. Texas only has a session every other year, and that session is limited in time. And this year, the session will close out at midnight on May 31st. So there's not a lot of days left. Constitutional carry is not the only thing the Texas legislature is concerned with. So the bill went back to the House from the Senate with 8 amendments. I watched the session. They're televised live on the Internet. I didn't watch all of it, but I watched the relevant portion. And the Democrats, who are a minority in the House, brought up an issue, a point of order. They said that the part of the bill, the amendment requiring the education provision, was not germane, that it wasn't legal. And there was some, obviously there had been some negotiating going on behind the scenes. So Representative Schaefer, who, Matt Schaefer, who is the sponsor of the bill, came to the mic, and he asked the House not to accept, not to concur with the Senate bill with the 8 amendments, but to send the bill to a conference committee. And I don't think there was even a voice vote, or if there was, there weren't many people speaking. It was one of these, all those in favor, aye, you know, the it passes. So obviously it had been arranged beforehand. So now the bill has to go to a conference committee. And the House appointed 5 people to the conference committee, and they're all people who voted for the bill in the House. 2 of them are Democrats, and there are 3 Republicans, which is reasonable. And then the Senate, they have to appoint other members to the conference committee. I haven't seen that makeup yet, but some people have indicated that they've been appointed. If so, that's a good sign. Because you only have 17, I think now 16 days until the Texas legislature adjourns. And so that's not a lot of time to get done what's done, because what has to happen is the conference committee has to meet. They have to try to work out differences between the Senate version, which has 8 amendments, and the House version, which doesn't have any amendments. They have to come up with something they think will be acceptable to both houses. Then it has to go to the Senate and be voted on and to be passed. Now, it only takes 16 votes to pass in the Senate. It took 18 votes to bring it to the floor originally, but now I believe it only takes a majority of 16. Then it has to go to the House, and they have to agree to what the conference committee agreed to. And if they both agree, then it goes to Governor Abbott and it almost certainly becomes law. But there's places you can see there are potential for killing the bill. If it's delayed so that it never gets to both houses before the end of the session, it's dead. The Senate could refuse to accept it, you know, to vote positively on it. The House could refuse to vote positively on it. So, unfortunately, there's at least 3 places it can die. But what we have, what Texas has going for it on this bill is that the Lieutenant Governor, Dan Patrick, and the Governor, Governor Abbott, both have signed on and say they want this bill to pass. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick is essentially in charge of the Senate, and Governor Abbott has said he will sign it. So if those powerhouses push the bill, it would make sense that they can get it through. And the question is, do they have enough votes in both the House and the Senate to an agreed-on portion of the bill, agreed-on final position of the bill, to pass it? I think they probably do, but I only give it about a 75% chance, because I've seen many bills fail at the last minute that somebody manages to engineer a roadblock or a delay, and they die. So that's the way I see it on the Texas constitutional carry bill.
Well, I certainly would like to see that pass. I've looked at Texas a great many times and thought to myself, I could see myself living there. I've thought about that a great many times.
The big leftist cities, like in Dallas and Houston, well, Houston particularly, and the capital city of Austin, you know, it would be a very conservative state. It's pretty conservative as is. But the big cities in Austin and San Antonio, let's see, El Paso is pretty far left, too. They all, you know, have a say, too. People live there, and then they get a say, and they tend toward the left side of the spectrum.
Yep, I know. A bunch of little dots of blue surrounded in a sea of red.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I get it. I understand. I just sometimes I look
and,
at that.
You know, there's also a chance. I know we don't have time, but Louisiana is in play for constitutional carry too.
Yeah, so all the for every state that comes in, all of them that pass make me hopeful for the ones that haven't gotten there yet. But we are running out of time. Thank you very much for joining me this evening.
It is always a pleasure, Bill.
You can find Dean's stuff at amoland.com. Back again on Monday. Between now and then, remember this. It has never been about gun control, not once, not ever. It has been, it's always going to be about total control. This has been Lock and Load. What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality-built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.